Story of Mary taking the infant Jesus to the temple to fulfill the laws about redeeming her firstborn. There they meet Simeon and Anna, and Simeon greets them and gives them this prayer, which we call the Nunc Dimittis. We know very little about this man. We only have the evidence of his word. In all probability, he was one of the group of people sometimes called the quiet in the land. There were many militant factions anxious to rid Israel of the Romans. No doubt there were many politicians who did the same. But the real hope for the future lay with God, not swords. And there were those who continued to trust that this was so. The quiet in the land is a splendid title for them. Let's have a look at what he said. If we start from the end and work forward, we see that he saw this baby he was holding as the glory of thy people Israel. And indeed, this was so, because Simeon had recognized that in this tiny child, he was holding the Messiah, the anointed King of Israel, great David's greater son. In him, all that had been revealed to the Jews by the patriarchs and prophets was going to be fulfilled. Perhaps we need to go on reminding ourselves that Jesus was the glory of Israel. The Christian church for centuries forgot it. When the Jews persecuted the Christians, we quietly forgot that Jesus was a Jew. We forgot that all our knowledge and understanding of God had come from the Jewish sacred writings, which we now call the Old Testament. We forgot that the place and setting of our Lord's life and work was in a Jewish family and a Jewish country. So over the centuries, led by Christian people, the attack on Jews grew. They were guilty of deicide, of killing God. So we move on to the ghettos of the Middle Ages. Jews were stateless, outcast from society. Do you know why Jews became so involved in financial activity? It was because Christians felt uneasy about the rightness of certain kinds of financial dealings, which were, however, necessary for society. So the Jews, being already condemned, as it were encouraged to undertake them so that good Christian people might keep their hands clean. And come nearer to our own day, and there we find systematic massacres of Jews in Tsarist Russia before the revolution, and there's the final horror of the 6 million Jews who died during the last war. Today things are different, but anti-Semitism is still an issue, as we know all too well. The churches have said they have been wrong in the past. The first assembly of the World Council of Churches in 1948 denounced anti-Semitism as sin against God and man, and went on in 1961 to insist that the historic events which led up to the crucifixion should not be so presented as to fasten upon the Jewish people of today responsibilities which belong to our corporate humanity and not to one race or community. The Vatican Council in 1966 said it condemned all hatred, persecutions and other manifestations of anti-Semitism, whatever the period and whoever was responsible. The Council further urged the Christians should never present the Jews as rejected by God or accursed, as though this followed from Scripture. But how long will it take this to be generally accepted? We still have prayers in the Book of Common Prayer, which reflect a very different way of thinking. A number of times people have said to me of someone, of course he's Jewish, but, as if that some way somehow made him on a different level. It's not a Christian attitude. Christ went first to Israel, the apostles preached first in the synagogues. God has not, as far as we know, rejected the Jews as a whole. We believe he is concerned with us as individuals, not as Welsh or English or Jewish. He sent his only son to be the glory of his people Israel, but also to be a light to lighten the Gentiles. What a marvellous thing that old Simeon, in the very centre of the Jewish religion, in the temple at Jerusalem, had seen what the writer of the later part of Isaiah and Jeremiah and many of the later prophets had seen before him, that the fullness of God's revelation would be to the whole world, that God was not national but international, that he had made the whole world and that it was all to be included in his kingdom. I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will not be walking in the dark. He will have the light of life. I wonder if most of us I've even got the insight of Simeon, who probably didn't live to hear Jesus say that. he had a world outlook, and so should we. The Christian faith is still a missionary faith. The mission field is as big as ever it was. It starts just outside the church door. We are all involved. We're supposed to carry the light of Christ into all the world. There is a dreadful hymn, which no doubt you know, which does at least express this well. Jesus bids us shine with a pure, clear light, like a little candle burning in the night. In this world of darkness we must shine, you in your small corner, and I in mine. Simeon knew that. Do Christians in general today? No. Let's keep it dark. But Simeon saw more to the child he was holding than simply a means of enlightenment. Jesus was also God's salvation. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. That word really means deliverance. Jesus was and is God's rescue operation. What did Simeon have in mind? The hated Romans? Very possibly, but also the liberty of being in close touch with God, for which he and his friends have been praying for so long. Deliverance from sin and death, deliverance from ourselves. And all because of this tiny baby he was holding. That was Simeon's faith. We have seen death conquered in the Easter story. We should be able to see what Simeon saw even more clearly. And right at the beginning of his prayer, Simeon sees that the child has brought peace to the individual. At last his prayers have been answered, and he asks that he may now depart. The thing he has been promised has happened. He's seen the Messiah. He's reached out with the arms of faith and held him close. And he says, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. Depart sounds a bit like a train timetable. The word really means release. Life as a bondage from which one day we will be released. That's what he thinks. What a positive attitude to death. And unfortunately not one held by many people today. But this is the attitude our Christian faith should give us. What good news this should be to those outside the church. Death is the last great taboo subject, it seems. It's the last great fear. How do we share Simeon's attitude to death? By following his attitudes in other things. He feared God, he trusted him, he prayed, he believed in the presence of the Holy Spirit with him. When God revealed his Son to him, he rejoiced and held him in his arms. We have a similar opportunity when God shows us Jesus today. We have no excuse for being doubting Thomas's. Simeon trusted in what the child was going to do. We know that he has done it. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of sin is death, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. Simeon saw in the baby the means of his own peace, of the salvation of the whole world, the glory of his people. A rosy picture. But he was not an idealist. He saw things clearly. In the following verses in St. Luke, he tells Mary, You see this child, he is destined for the fall and for the rising of many in Israel, destined to be a sign that is rejected. Many would fall because of Christ. This is a thought we find in other places. Christ as a stumbling block. Why would men stumble and fall? Because as they react to Christ, they judge themselves. That indeed is the judgment. People may react to Christ's love for us by loving God and their fellow human beings, or they may ignore it or even actively oppose it. Many would rise because of Christ. The Roman moralist Seneca, who lived at the same time as Jesus, said that what men needed was a hand let down to lift them up. Simeon saw that this child Jesus was that kind of hand, and so experience proved that Christ lifts us up from shame to glory, from sin to forgiveness, from darkness to light, from death to life. And finally Simeon saw that he was a sign that he would be rejected. Simeon himself had recognized the sign because he knew what he was looking for, because he'd prayed for understanding. Let us pray that we may share his vision, his peace, his understanding of who Christ was, and his unfailing trust in God's promises.